Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl!
You're out of here!
There's no crying in baseball!
High fly ball into right field. She is gone!
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Thank you for joining us once again. I am Adam Nelson.
I am Samuel Paul, and this is West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. And don't look now, we're right in the middle of a playoff race.
Oh, I'm looking. I'm peeping. Call me Tom. It's hot. It is hot.
It is a hot day in San Francisco. It is
September.
The first day of fall, which means that it's the first day of summer in San Francisco.
Is it really? Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Is today the first day of fall?
It's the 21st of September.
That is true.
It is the equinox.
Wow. What a hell of a day. Yeah, you know it's September when it's like 85 degrees in this city, which means it's about 95 degrees in this hotbox studio, but we do it for you. We sacrifice all comfort.
Yes, but we have cold beer. Don't worry about us.
That is true.
We have baseball on the television. It is pennant race baseball, looking at the Cubs and the Cardinals, one of those ancient rivalries that are really fun to watch, whether or not you're a fan.
Very true. Unfortunately, Dakota Hudson did not have a great start. You know, in this time of the fantasy season, most people are in playoffs.
Right.
However, we do rotisserie. Which means, of course, there are no playoffs, and it's just to the bitter end, may the best man win.
You're currently in second place in our lead right now.
Yeah, please don't remind me. I know
you're only six points.
That I
six
know.
6 points behind the leader.
That I know.
You got 8 games left. Can you do it? Can you make up those points?
It's tough. I'm trying. I'm streaming. I'm dropping dudes, picking up starters. You know, I mean, this is what you do.
Been very active. Yeah.
You shed your team and you just stream. And so I picked up Dakota Hudson. He's been one of the hottest pitchers in the game the last few weeks. Of course, he gives up 4 walks in the first inning, gives up 3 runs, completely inflates my whip, which I did have the best whip in the league. So we'll see. I'm probably going to drop a couple points overnight now because of this. But I do also have Sean Manaea, who I picked up for today's start as well. He has been ripping it up. And now, as soon as we're talking about that, it looks like the Cardinals are just taking the lead on the Cubs. But that doesn't really matter because this is West Coast bias, not Central Lake Coast bias. I don't know what the hell they have in the Midwest.
Yeah.
I don't know what they got. They got a bunch of lakes.
They're a flyover bias, maybe.
Yeah, we have the biggest body of water on the face of the earth, although it doesn't feel like it today.
That we do. I don't know.
Obviously, it's West Coast bias, and we haven't gone for a while. We do apologize. But the Yankees finally won their first division since 2012.
Yeah, the Yankees looking pretty good, and congratulations to Aaron Boone, becoming the first... first manager to start his career with back-to-back 100-plus wins.
It's all downhill from here, Brett. All right,
may very well be. But
wow, that is pretty impressive.
And besides having 100 wins, they are not the leader in the American League for the best record. That belongs to the Astros.
This
is going to be an interesting... last week of baseball concerning those teams as they contend for... looks like home field throughout, including the World Series at this point.
But
both of them are ahead of the Dodgers in terms of record as well.
If you are in a fantasy league where there are playoffs, you know that this is the worst part of the year because all the stars get rested, especially if they're going to the postseason. These guys don't play. It usually kind of sucks. But if you have a guy from the Yankees or the Astros or multiple guys, you're sitting pretty because these teams are not letting off the gas. They have to win. They have to get home field. Whoever wins home field is going to win the pennant.
Based on the ALCS a couple years ago. Yankees and Astros. That was a hell of a series. Win seven games, the home team won every single time.
Exactly.
The Astros,
like, defiantly won. Too. Yeah, like, yeah. Or emphatically, definitely. Yeah. So and these two teams are more or less the same.
In terms of personnel,
Astros are a little bit better, but yes, yeah, exactly. God, I really want to see a rematch 2017. You know, that hurts.
You may very well get it.
Although, if anything, I'm being honest, I would prefer Oakland Dodgers just so I could maybe go to one of those games. It'd be a lot easier. You know, open up Mount Davis and you could probably hit 65,000.
Might be able to actually get to see a World Series.
It would be nice.
Be a rematch of 1988.
Yeah, it would have been nice. It would have been more poetic last year. Alas, they were unable to do that. And that actually brings me to, I mean, I was going to, we'll get back to the Yankees and the East Coast in a bit, but that bringing up the A's last year and their dominant season and then just getting booted in the very first round, or not even the first round, first game. Let me set the scene for you here. Okay, a year ago, the Oakland A's had one of the best offenses in baseball.
Right.
Okay? But oddly, they were easily the league's worst against high-velocity fastballs. League low, 191 batting average against pitches over 95 miles an hour. A league low, 268 weighted on base average. A league low, 72.3% contact rate. During the regular season, pitches over 95 miles an hour are obviously pretty rare, making up only 12% of pitches. But the postseason, you know, things are different. In the one-game wild card last year against the Yankees, the A's were fed a healthy dose of high-octane pitches and rendered them virtually inept. You know, so those watching the game, yeah, the A's put up two runs, but, I mean, it was just, the Yankees were just throwing gas, and you can almost tell right from the very beginning that the A's didn't have anything for it. Now, why am I bringing this up? Well, and by the way, last year, the playoff team that hit 95-mile-an-hour fastballs the best were the Red Sox, who, of course, won it all. But I'm bringing this up because the Dodgers have been excellent against high velocity, whereas the Astros have been quite poor. The Dodgers hit 276, 354, 485 triple slash line against 95-mile-an-hour plus, and the Astros only hit 234. I'm liking this a lot. Dodgers weighted on base average on fastballs, high velocity, 95 miles an hour over, was actually higher than their weighted on base average on slow fastballs. The only team in baseball that was true. This is a great portent for the Dodgers in the postseason. I'm just making the case. I didn't really have to. I mean, the Dodgers are maybe not on paper favored just because the Astros have that hard 1-2-3 punch. Three guys that are leading the entire game and whip.
Right.
Greinke barely hanging in there under one, but still. And technically, Greinke spent half the season with a different team, and his part with the Astros isn't under one for his whip. But you know what I mean. Those guys throw gas. Cole, Verlander, these guys are throwing 95. They're averaging 95 miles an hour. So
this is
looking good.
But do the Dodgers have the flamethrowers to match, though?
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe not,
they going to be able to take advantage of the other side?
Not Hyunjin Ryu, but Bueller. You know, does that ring a bell?
Bueller,
sure.
Bueller, yeah.
But that's only one.
Well, Bueller. Plus our our bullpen. I say our, but you know, Dodgers bullpen. They're all throwing over 95. Dave Roberts loves a quick hook. So if things aren't going too well, we'll bring in the high heat. You know, I'm talking World Series.
Right. I understand.
That's assuming
not see
Houston it,
and everyone gets there, and assuming the Dodgers get there as well.
Right. Yeah, the Dodgers were second best in baseball by chase rate and best among probable playoff teams. They don't chase any more often at 95 mile an hour plus than they do against slower fastballs, which is a great sign. The Astros were 22nd. And by whiff rate, the Dodgers were second, second best in baseball, trailing only the Nationals. Look, they're great at three skills, right? Patience, contact, and slugging. The Dodgers, that is. And the Dodgers also rank first in relative isolated power, ISO. and sixth in relative pull rate. But anyway, among all the probable or possible playoff teams, the Dodgers were better than the Astros, Rays, Brewers, Twins, Cardinals, Yanks, Cubs, A's, and Indians across all five of those measures. So this is it. All right. That was just a long-winded. This is the damn year. All right. Jesus Christ.
It's got to be for that. I still don't see them winning. But of course, I just may not want to. But I'm not going to deny that they have been one of the best, if not the best, team in baseball for most of the year. There's very little doubt about that.
100%. Now, I don't even know. The ALDS is going to be pretty interesting. But in terms of like ties or something like that, should the Astros and the Yankees finish the regular season tied, Houston has the tiebreaker by virtue of winning 4 out of 7 games against the Yankees this year. Yeah, and Houston, 7 of the Astros' final 9 games are against the Angels, with 2 against the Mariners. So they have a pretty nice schedule going up ahead. But
right.
if the season were to end today, the Yankees would host the Twins in the ALDS. In that potential series, there could be a record-setting home run performances, obviously, between those two clubs. And they've already hit more than anybody in Major League history. It would be pretty good. The Yankees are 2-4 against the A's, 3-4 against the Indians, 12-5 against the Rays. So they're probably hoping the Rays get it over the Indians, and right now it's a pretty close race.
It is. In fact, as of this morning, they are tied for that. The Rays and the Indians
right.
are tied for that second wild card spot. 2 games behind Oakland.
Yeah.
So it's definitely going to be interesting between Cleveland and Tampa Bay in this last week of baseball.
Should be good. It seems like the Rays have the advantage, but hey, you never know. And I like Oakland's chances in Oakland. I like that a lot. Of course, they're not going to have the home field advantage against the Yankees or Houston. But nevertheless, I think they have one of the best home field advantages, the Athletics do. Because when you get the Coliseum full, I mean,
geez. Oh, it can get very loud, crazy.
Plus, it's a great home field in that it's very strange kind of park. The dimensions are weird. There's a lot of foul territory. If you're not used to playing there, it can come back to bite you. If you are used to playing there, you can, be very, very good. And hopefully Sean Manaea, again, starting pitching tonight. Hopefully he shows some of his no-hit excellence that we all knew him for. Now, what about CeCe? CeCe Sabathia?
CeCe Sabathia? What about him?
Well, it looks like he's going to be playing because he probably just made his last start, was that last Wednesday, maybe of his career, right? Last Wednesday. But he said he would like to pitch out of the bullpen in the season's final week. So to get ready to like fill out that role during the playoffs if needed. But that would be pretty cool. I mean, that's what they're probably going to need. What are the Yankees looking at right now? They got Paxton pitched today. He looked a little shaky, but it didn't look too bad. Tanaka, obviously, but again, I mean, who knows? Tanaka's great at home.
Right.
But on the road, Tanaka is not good. I had him for most of the year in fantasy, and I just kept hoping I just kept thinking he would turn it around.
And he never did. You dropped him, and someone else picked him up, and had the same lesson. It just didn't work out.
Oh, I mean, he gave up like 22 runs in a week. I mean, it killed me, or damn near killed me. Who else they got? Severino and J-Hap. So they got 4 guys there.
Right, and pitching has been the Yankees' weak spot all year. No. Hasn't seemed to hurt them in the standings at all.
That's true. But, postseason,
absolutely, is a different animal. But
if their bats are even a little bit cold and they've been relying on high-scoring games throughout the whole season and not pitching, that's going to hurt. Especially going up against the Astros lineup. I mean, their 1-2-3 is pretty insane.
That being said, the Yankees still have a plus 202 run differential as of today. Pitching has been doing their job, if not been, maybe they're a little bit underrated. but we'll have to see.
That's true. Now, the Twins are really hoping they don't face the Yankees in the division series. It's the nightmare scenario for the Twins, essentially. The Twins have lost five straight postseason series against the Yankees, spanning 10 postseason games. Twins have actually lost their last 13 postseason games. Their last victory was October 5th, 2004, over the Yankees. Wow. Yeah.
Well, that's just against the Yankees, not just against all comers in the postseason? Or is that just their last win in the postseason?
Yeah, no. They've lost their last 13 postseason games, 10 of which were against the Yankees.
Okay.
Yeah. The Twins have had one of their best seasons ever this year and set the all-time MLB records along the way. The main record being when Sano joined Cruz, Kepler, Rosario, and Garver with his 30th jack earlier this week.
Right.
The only team that's ever done that.
Five players with 30-plus home runs.
Exactly. Yeah. That's pretty impressive.
It is. I mean, they were just knocking the cover off the ball for the first half of the season, for sure.
But it looks like Kepler hasn't been playing, though, so I don't know. We'll see. I mean, Cruz is just dirty. Even, like, with a messed up wrist, he's just going out there and smashing. I love watching that guy play.
Yeah.
Twins will be fun to watch, man. I guess they'll be going up against the Yankees or Houston. Again, I'm sure they do not want to see the Yankees. But, I mean, they're good, but I can't see them beating the Yankees or the Astros. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, stranger things have happened, but
yeah,
if you like to root, if you like to root for the underdog, Twins might be the team.
They're fun to watch, you know. Whoops, you're gonna be hearing some horns maybe in the background. It's a hot day. We got all the windows open. We apologize for the white noise in the background. I'll do my best to ramble on. Now, Cody Bellinger has hit 45 jacks this year, right?
Right.
And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about last time, last episode. He has 45 home runs off 45 different pitchers. I think last time we were talking, 42? He had 42 jacks?
Right.
Off 42 pitchers. He's continuing it. Now he has 45 off 45. And that actually brings us to last week's trivia question, which we will get to and answer a little bit later, because only one person has ever had 40 off of 40 different.
Before this year, yeah.
Right, before this year. But he does face Joey Lucchesi on Wednesday. Belly does, that is. And Eric Lauer for the Padres on Thursday. So he has homered off of all of those guys. So we'll see. There is a chance that he gets another one off of one of those guys. But well, either way, I mean
he's yeah, it's not gonna, probably not gonna catch Pete Alonso.
No.
This amazing rookie just hit his 50th for the year.
50. Got it. What is he now? Two away from Judge's all-time rookie record of 52.
Yeah. And that was only just a few years ago.
Yeah,
it's really, I don't know how New York City keeps getting all of these big home run hitters.
Man, Polar Bear has just been tearing it up this year, and he's on my fantasy team, which is very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. Hopefully he gets two today. Let's just put that Judge record in the back door. Now, speaking of records, you your boy, Mr. Eighthead, Bruce Bochy.
Bruce Bochy, yeah. Bruce Bochy became the 11th person ever to win 2,000 games as a manager in the major leagues.
Only 10 other guys have done that?
Only 10 other guys have done that. And really only about 4 of them in the last like 30 years or so.
Wow.
It's a very small club. I mean, more people have walked on the moon than actually have have 2,000 or more wins as a major league manager.
That's when you put it like that.
it's an exclusive club. It probably means that Bochy definitely be going to the Hall of Fame as a manager.
Wow.
Fancy. How fancy.
Very good, Bochy. Nicely done.
It includes,
now, what's his all-time record, though? Is he 500? No.
He's not quite at 500.
For his career,
he's got Well, 2,000 wins and 2,024 losses.
Oh, so he still has the only 2,000. Because I remember he got 2,000 a few days ago.
Right? A few days ago, they've played two games since. They've lost them both.
I don't have my...
That was a very good Price is Right, though. That was pretty good, right? I must admit. So as of today, before the Giants play the Braves tonight, he's got a .497 win percentage.
Really? That's pretty damn close. But what about as a Giant?
As a Giant, he's sitting at exactly .500.
Wow.
As of today, 1,049 wins, 1,049 losses. That does not, of course, include his postseason wins.
Right.
Of
now,
which he has probably 44 total, wow. 36 as a Giant.
Wow. So much better in the postseason.
Well, yeah. when it comes, I mean...
Four pennants, three rings. Is that what he's got?
Four pennants, three rings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he had that pennant in, was it, 98 with the Padres?
Right. And where they ran into the monster Yankees teams of Joe Torre.
Wow, 98 wins that year in 1998. That's more wins than he ever had as a Giant manager. That's pretty damn good.
It is. That was a very good Padres team. No doubt about it.
I still think of the 88 win 2014 season. That's just absurd. But that's Bruce Bochy's numbers are the 14 season in a nutshell. Like, just get in, just eke it in.
Yeah.
Don't even win 90. Make it into the postseason.
Manage
then,
the hell out of the bullpen and
gotta give it to him.
But pull miracles out of the hat.
Oh, the hat?
Really big hat.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Jimmy! Yeah.
Well, that's pretty good. So he needs an impossible amount of wins to reach 500 in his career. But
right,
he can,
for the
but
regular
he can,
season.
He can finish over 500 as a Giant.
Correct.
If he just has a winning record from here on out.
Correct.
But then you guys are facing the Dodgers at the end of the season, so I'm sure the Dodgers will... play spoiler and give him like one fewer win or something.
Well,
just to make him not sleep at night.
He is the winningest, most visiting manager at Dodger Stadium in history there. He has won, I believe it was 106 games in his career at Dodger Stadium.
Wow.
Lost 107.
Wow.
He was very close to finishing... reverse those numbers and have a positive 500 record at Dodger Stadium.
But. Yeah.
Just a bit outside.
I'm glad we were able to spoil that for him. Now, Sonny Gray has been
he's been on
quietly
fire.
Dominant.
Yeah, he has
been. Quite some time.
He has been. He was, you know, since that perfect game that he had when he was with Oakland. He's not done much. He went
perfect
to the Yankees, stuck it out.
He didn't have
a perfect
game.
It was a perfect game or a no-hitter. He had one hell of a game. I thought it was a perfect game. It might have been just a no-hitter.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he had a perfect game. They had, was that Dallas Braden, I think, got a perfect game with the A's?
Dallas Braden right about the same time, too, yeah.
I think so, right? I don't know. This is really hot today.
It is.
Sonny Gray was great.
He was. He went to the Yankees. Couldn't perform in the Bronx. He went to the Reds, and he's now 32 consecutive starts, giving up six or fewer hits, not including not including the openers.
Jesus.
Only one other pitcher has. Almost as many, but
Kershaw?
That 32. No, it's not Kershaw.
Reed. Scherzer.
No,
what?
You have to think
wow.
a little bit older and more dominant than those those pitchers that you just think. But 31 consecutive starts was the previous major league record that Sonny Gray now holds at 32 consecutive starts. So yeah, it's a pretty impressive run as
is this our trivia question? No, this isn't our trivia question.
No, it's not our trivia question.
Okay,
tonight.
Well,
It could have been. We contemplated it.
Yeah.
But
now I'm thinking, if I say two pitchers and they're both wrong, then my third is always Nolan Ryan.
Right.
And because when you're talking about trivia, he generally dominates. Now that doesn't seem like a Nolan Ryan stat, though. Is it Nolan Ryan?
It is. It is really? Indeed Nolan Ryan. Wow. 32 consecutive starts with six or fewer hits.
Wow. Now he
does
gives
have
up
seven
walks.
No hitters.
Yeah, well that's true. You're right. He gives up some walks, but he doesn't give up hits. So, wow, that's a very elite company.
It really is.
Sonny Gray, rats off to you, bro. Wow.
I was not able to find a list anywhere of who else might be anywhere in the neighborhood of those two right now. Maybe I can do some research for next.
Well, yeah,
episode.
When you talk about consecutive streaks, I mean that's hard. Sometimes there's nobody even remotely close, you know, because streaks can start and stop on a dime. But you know, you never really know.
Yeah, and 32 starts is essentially the whole season.
That is pretty insane. He's just been really good. You know, he wasn't drafted in most leagues. He wasn't even drafted. I mean, maybe like in deeper 15-team leagues he was. But in our league, I know he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I know he got picked up like a little bit into the season. And even then, you're kind of like gambling because he's playing at Great American.
You know,
that's a hitter-friendly park.
It definitely is.
I wish I got him, honestly. I wish I had him because he's been just awesome. Now, if you're in a league that
quality
does wins, right. If you're in a league that does wins and losses, maybe not as valuable. But yeah, quality starts is what we do. And that is... Man, he has been one of the most dominant. Now, it'll be interesting to see next year where he gets drafted in the draft.
It still might be lower in the draft, but he might actually get picked up based on this season performance, but you never know.
But what about a guy like Snell, right, who was the Cy Young Award, and then this year, you know, he had a lot of injuries and stuff, but he just came back, and now he looks like he's just going to be a reliever. He just had a start. The other day, it was only two innings, I think, his first start back.
Well, a lot of times when the pitchers come back, they have a severely limited pitch count just so they build up the arm strength back, throwing at full speed to major league hitters.
But even in like his minor league games, he's only throwing like two or three innings. So I wonder, speaking of Sonny Gray next year in the draft, I'm already looking next year, you know. But it'll be really interesting to see Snell and see where he goes in that draft in relation to somebody like Sonny Gray, who's not... Sonny Gray isn't the big, sexy name that he kind of was once when he was with the A's. But, I mean, he's going to be a hot commodity. I'm going to definitely be taking a look at him later in rounds, and I bet Snell will still go before him, but is that going to be a good idea? I don't know.
I'd probably have to wait till spring training to see what Snell does, because that'll give us the answers.
The postseason rest this year, also.
Yeah. I have the postseason to rest and build that arm strength back up and see if he's coming back as a starter or a reliever next year.
Well, again, depending on what happens in the postseason, we'll see. I mean, I hope he doesn't get Nathan Eovaldi'd, so to speak, like Alex Cora did to Eovaldi last year. Just like we're just gonna empty the tank on you, bro. Screw next year. Next year you're gonna be terrible, but this postseason I remember when it happened when he kept bringing him in and he let him go like nine innings in relief, like, all right, I know you're trying to win, and then they did win that game, okay, but like at what cost? I mean, the cost of this guy's future. And I remember we were talking about this last year, and yeah, the Red Sox won it all, and they got their ring, they got the World Series trophy. But Eovaldi was not the same this year. And we kind of knew that was going to happen. So is that what's going to happen with Snell?
I don't know.
If they have a chance to win, and they're going to be, all right, Snell, get out there, bro.
The thing about it is, though, that Tampa Bay, they've been pretty consistent the last few years. They've won a lot of games. They've been right there. They've been, unfortunately, in the same division as the Yankees and the Red Sox. But the Red Sox, you know, they were average at best 2 years ago, and then they loaded up and they dominated everyone all year.
They were
last
so good
year,
last year,
and then they fell off the cliff again
the
this
team.
Year. What happened?
It's
exactly
the
same team.
It's basically, I mean, except for Kimbrel, it's the exact same team. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing for them to make the postseason last year, but it's another thing for them to completely dominate, which they did.
Yeah,
and with basically the same team. Now again, as we just talked about, Eovaldi is a shell of a man. I mean, is physically speaking. Of course, Chris Sale was, even though he wasn't hurt, he was pitched like garbage in the beginning of the season. And then, of course, now he is hurt. you know, and then Price is
you know, in the career year that JD Martinez had last year. You know,
I picked him number one. I mean, he was my number one pick this year. JD Martinez, you know, and he had a fine year.
Oh yeah, there's nothing wrong with his year, but it wasn't not, anything right. like last year.
Yeah. Mookie Betts, same thing. It took him a while to get hot. I don't know. But and when Devers is your best player, and Devers is great, but like when he's your best player, yeah, you're probably not going to be the powerhouse you were the year before. And again, that's no, I've liked Devers for a while now. I've had him pretty much every year except for this year that he's been, I mean, I guess it's only 3 years now, but I always figured that guy would be a breakout star. This year, it seems like he is. Speaking of old breakout stars, how about
old breakout stars?
How about Bartman, El Bardo?
El Bardo.
Did our you see this?
Our own podcast favorite player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's Bartolo Colon is keeping it loose. I think he's trying to make a comeback. What's going on?
I don't know. I think he's just out having fun. Right now he showed up at a pickup game in the Dominican Republic. And started mowing down.
Like a men's over 40 pickup game? Or?
No, I think this was like Little League pickup game. These were, I think, 12 to 14-year-olds. He went out there and started throwing some gas. looked pretty good out there, but, you know, throwing from 45 feet to...
Striking out kids.
You're out of here!
Just no mercy. I love that. That's great. Well, it's a thrill of those kids' lives.
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, a national hero, you know, a great, you know, longtime major league player comes and, like, throws you some pitches. The catcher that was catching him did a great job.
The catcher,
who knows how badly his hand hurt afterwards. But it's a fun little video.
He was not
want
like,
to take a look at
he
it.
He was throwing like high and inside. He was like he's brushing him off the plate.
You
like a 12-year-old.
Got to make sure these kids aren't crowding the plate. Teach them some manners early. I mean, come on.
All right, now. Well, I was actually gonna talk more. Well,
I don't know. You're gonna talk more about something. I know you have some. You had something about Josh Hader, some sort of
Hater Watch. Hater Watch 2019. Yeah. He always sneaks into this podcast. He always gets in here.
It seems like it. Yeah.
Because he's just a ridiculous human
hater?
Being.
I don't know.
Well, you can't hate the hater. I mean, you can hate the game, but leave Hader out of it. In the history of baseball, only one reliever. In 2012, Craig Kimbrell has ever struck out at least half the batters he faced in a season. 60-plus innings. Good benchmark.
Wow.
The only time it's ever happened. Yeah, the only time. Struck out half the batters he faced. As we speak, Hader has faced 268 hitters and is four strikeouts short of punching out half of them.
Wow.
Now, he's averaging a massive 16.48 K per night. It's just unbelievable. And that's literally just a hair behind, well, not literally a hair, but you know what I mean, behind the greatest K per night of all time, which was Kimbrell in that same year, 2012, 16.66. So 16.48, 16.66. If Hader pitches seven more innings, which he probably is
certainly possible
yeah.
in the last eight games.
Especially he usually goes more than one, sometimes two. He'd need to rack up 15 strikeouts to break Kimbrell's record, which for him, I mean,
that's almost two strikeouts per inning.
Yeah, and he's pretty much averaging that anyway. He has managed to allow 14 home runs this year and 14 singles. Now, this is something that we've been watching closely.
14 home runs, 14 singles.
No, of course, no one in history has ever pitched as much as Hader and had the year. That he has this year and served up more homers than singles. So it's never been done. But, of course, this is a crazy year.
Especially and for home runs.
Yeah, it just shows how dominant he is. Like, yeah, he's given up some jacks, but they're probably always solo shots. And he's not giving up hits. So basically, if you get a hit, you have a 50-50 chance of it going over the fence, but you're probably not going to even make contact.
Right.
That's the main thing. I mean, 16.48 K per nine. That's a fantasy wet dream right there.
And that's just those 28 hits are all he's given up? Or has he given up more hits than that?
Oh, well, yeah. No. Yeah. That's a good question. That is a good question, my friend. Like doubles and
doubles and triples. Yeah, I mean, you gave me 14 home runs, 14 right. singles, but does he only have 28 hits that given up? That is that seems to be the question.
That is a good question, and I will tell you in 2 seconds. I'm going to have my my engineer over here look it up for you. He has given up 36 hits.
36 hits. So there is more than just, or a little bit less than 50-50 chance of a home run or a single, because it's possible that might get a double.
Right. I mean, it could happen, but generally speaking,
still,
it usually doesn't.
Still, after so many innings, only given up 36 hits total. That's still very impressive.
130 strikeouts in 71 innings.
Crazy.
That's out of control. That's out of control. So he can do it. He can do it this year. And in a crazy year of mashing the ball, of home run excellence, it's nice to see somebody bring it back a little bit more old school. I mean, that's not even old school, because that's just a completely new thing, striking out that many guys. But, you know, bringing it back to the pitcher. Now, speaking of history, Ronald Acuña Jr., I mean, he's on the precipice. He's looking down and to that chasm of Canseco's and Soriano's and what, Bonds, 40-40?
Yeah.
Who else? There's like one other guy, right?
I think they're the other Bonds, too.
Really?
Bobby Bonds hit 40-40. I think the first one. Define that category?
No, Canseco was the first. I know that, but...
I think there was one more.
A-Rod. A-Rod. That was it. A-Rod with the Mariners. Mariners A-Rod. Pre-juice A-Rod, right. Yeah.
Pre-pay Rod.
Yeah. Right. And Canseco got it. He eked it in with 40 stolen bases, just like Barry Bonds was 40 right on the nose. But A-Rod had 46 stolen bases and 42 home runs in 98. Now, it was 98, so maybe it wasn't pre-juice, but, oh, man. Yeah, Acuña Jr., I believe, has 37, and now he had his 41st home run. So, 3 stolen bases away from being in this kind of elite company. As you said, fewer than men that have walked on the moon, I guess, right. by a long shot here.
Well, there's only 12 people who have walked on the moon, but...
Yeah.
And if that's our benchmark that we're going by today, it's still a very elite company and very impressive feat.
Yeah.
To have the speed and the power and have them both work, especially now that more than ever the steals are out of fashion.
Right. No, exactly. And this is a theme that has been pervasive this whole season. In terms we're on pace for having the fewest amount of steals.
Right. I was at... a Giants Pirates game last week, sitting down with my friend. He was asking me, how come I haven't seen anyone steal like all year? And I was telling him, well, the steals are way down all over the league, and it's just not something that teams are doing anymore. And then, of course,
right.
a couple innings later, after he asked me this question, there was a steal. one of the Pirates, I forget who it was, stole a base. And there you go. And then later on in the game, Posey threw another runner out at second on an attempted steal.
Really? Well, that's why, I guess.
So, you know, you ask and I guess you shall receive. But, it's even more impressive now since teams just really aren't running.
Exactly. And that's not really a stat that you would think would happen in this day and age. Obviously, getting 40 home runs is... It's still a pretty big deal, but it's
it
not.
Is. It is. It seems
seem
very commonplace. There are we're in double digits with players over 40 home runs this year, aren't we?
Are we? I don't know.
We're really close. If not, I mean, we can go through and list them.
I think so. I mean, so in the National League, you got Acuña, Arenado, Yelich, Belly, Suarez, Alonso. What is that, 5-6? Oh, yeah, okay, maybe. And then in the American League, no, so there's 8. Trout and Soler have 45. And Cruz has 39. So Cruz could be, and then that'd be 9, I guess. Okay. But and that actually brings me to a good point, which is, Soler could be the first Royal in history to lead the league in home runs. That's pretty cool.
It is.
He's currently tied with Trout at 45, but I can assure you Trout is not going to be getting any more home runs this
season.
No,
an unfortunate end to Trout's season this year. He's on pace have the most dominant season anyone's ever had in a year. He was leading in virtually every...
Well, except for stolen. His stolen bases were dramatically lower this year, though. But you're right. He's been having a hell of a year. A Troutian year, I guess you could say. His average wasn't even in the top 10, but it doesn't matter. I mean, everything else is stellar. His WAR is higher than anybody else.
Is he still a viable MVP candidate?
I mean, that's a good question.
People have been naming him MVP since go. Since the first week of the year, people are just saying Trout's the MVP this year.
Well, and when you talk about a guy that doesn't finish the season, that's an interesting... That is an interesting debate to have. Now, I saw A.J. Hinch, manager of the Astros, got asked this question. And, of course, he was representing Bregman, who's having a hell of a year as well. Right. And right behind Trout in most of the offensive categories. And he was saying, well, all things being equal, it should probably go, the tie essentially should go to the guy that actually helped his team get to the postseason. No, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I would agree with Hinch. I would say that Trout, without a doubt, the most valuable player on his team.
Well,
valuable player on his team, but we're talking about the most valuable player in the league.
It has to be.
I mean, if you go purely by the numbers. And the amount of, games played, Trout is, still probably there at number one.
He is.
When you look at what those numbers did for the team, then, Bregman's team has over 100 wins this year, and they are in the playoffs, and they are looking at home field advantage throughout the playoffs, including the World Series.
And he's played the whole season.
He's played the whole season. He hasn't been injured, which is a big thing.
To have been. Yeah.
Yeah. And a team, they a lot of their offensive stars, were down for at least
a few weeks here and there.
My vote would probably go with Bregman because because his team is going to the postseason. His team overall was better.
It's like but what are you supposed to do if you're Don Mattingly? If you're a great player and you're playing on the '80s Yankees that are just terrible, what if you're Mike Trout and you're the best, obviously the best in the game, but you're playing on an inferior team, a team of old men, a team of broken down dudes with no pitching? Like, it's not really his fault. And you're just talking about the numbers. I think you're not talking about Hall of Fame. Now, Hall of Fame, sometimes guys who are in perennial postseason teams get picked just because of that, and that makes more sense. But I don't know. See, this is tough. It's not like Trout only played like 120 games. If that was the case, then I don't think we'd even be talking about this. But he's still... Now, I was looking at Bregman's, and Bregman is right below Trout on pretty much everything. He's like number two on pretty much everything that you can look at. But when you look at WAR, and I think nowadays, when you're talking about MVP, you have to look at WAR. Trout has a whole 1% more. I mean, a whole point more, I should say. Bregman's sitting at 7.2. Now, that's good for second in all of the American League, but Trout has 8.2. So when you talk about that, and that's a cumulative stat. So when you talk about that in a shortened season, if anything, it might even be more of a case for Trout than Bregman. I mean, I don't know. It is tough. Trout has the highest OBP in the game. He has the highest slugging and, of course, the highest OPS. I don't know. It's tough, you know?
What a predicament.
Yeah, but I see what you're saying. I mean, if you're helping your team, if you're truly valuable, you're going to help your team win. But, you know, it's baseball, you know? It's not basketball. You can't just give it to the best guy every time, you know? You can't be Kobe just scoring, when he get like 81 points.
But all those years that Kobe also brought a lot of championships to the Lakers.
That is true.
And so far, you know, Trout hasn't really even made the playoffs
once,
on a team.
Once. Yeah, I know. It's
and sad. So the Angels, and I agree, it's not, you can't blame Trout for being on a bad team. They won 69 games this year with, you know, if Trout wasn't there the whole year, they'd only be better than, you know, the Royals, the Orioles, and the Tigers.
That's a good point.
You know, so and without Bregman, you know, the Astros might not have even made the playoffs.
Well, they'd be in the wild card contention. You're right.
They'd be
take
wild
away
card contention.
Seven wins.
But,
take
but
away.
They
they'd
definitely be behind the A's by a number of games.
That is true. That is a good point. Now, when you're talking about precedent, George Brett famously won the MVP in 1980, and he only played 117 games. Now, yeah, it's very rare, obviously, but you just, I mean, so it's not like it's just because you don't finish the season, you know, means you're out of the contention. Because if you put up gaudy numbers before, they should speak for themselves. But if somehow Bregman puts up another whole point in WAR by the end of the season, then yeah, it's
well,
definitely
he's got a
his.
Week to do it, so why not?
100%. But. Ricky Henderson in 1990 played 136 games and got the MVP. So, you know, there is precedent. Joe Mauer in 2009 played 138 games. Now, he's a catcher, but yeah. You know.
Well, we'll see. I think, you know, there's always a bias to winners anyway.
Right.
Trout, maybe Trout will get it just because of the market that he plays in. The Los Angeles area market is bigger than the Houston area market in terms of just general coverage. But
that's true, but they're not L.A., though. I mean, I know they're the Los Angeles Angels but of Anaheim, but they're in Anaheim. Like, that's Orange County.
Right.
That is a much smaller market than L.A.
It is, but it's still that greater TV market.
Southern California, yeah.
Southern California market is still it's the second biggest TV market in the country.
It is true. Now, we kind of cut off Soler a little bit, but I that is pretty cool, though, man, right? I mean, the Kansas City Royals have never had a home run leader.
Right.
Which is pretty insane. I mean, never. And so right now, he's going to get it no matter what. Because he's tied with Trout, so at worst
he
could tie.
If he hits just one more, he's
right.
In the lead.
I mean, that is assuming that Nelson Cruz doesn't get like five or six more by the end of the year, which is entirely possible because he's sitting at 39 right now.
Right.
Probably Soler will finish number one. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool because it was kind of quiet. Like, I didn't really see a lot of that happening. You know, the last time Royal even finished in the top four in home runs was 30 years ago when Bo Jackson was fourth.
Bo Jackson.
Yeah.
Bo knows baseball.
Yeah. And that year he was fourth in home runs, but he was also he also finished third in the NFL in yards per rushing attempt in the same year. Pretty insane.
He was a hell of an athlete. There's no doubt about that.
Soler would be the second man in the 162-game schedule era to win a home run title for a 100-loss team. How about that? Can you name the other? No.
I don't think so.
That might have been a decent trivia question right there. Should we save it?
I don't know. We could.
Do we have a trivia question?
We do have a trivia question, but
do
but
we?
We're not there. All
right,
you told
you
me
did.
That we did.
All right, you did.
You said you did.
You wrote it down. Who's on first?
What's on second?
Yeah.
I thought you wrote it down. We're having some technical difficulties here. We will be back momentarily.
Yeah, I blame the heat. Myself, just not used to this heat being a native San Franciscan. It's It's not fun. It's only for a couple weeks.
Do you or do you not have that? I told you to write that.
I did not write down the question because you said you had it about our old friend in Houston, Verlander.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
What the hell is supposed to be, you moron? All right. Well, okay. So, wow. All right. We're a little rusty, and we're back. KBBL's going to give me something stupid.
Like a trivia question.
Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave your hate mail. That was, so 1965 Red Sox, Tony Conigliaro.
Hmm.
Was the only man in the 162 game era to win the home run title with a 100 loss team. With the 1965 Red Sox, of course. Garbage team. Not unlike the Royals. But are the Royals going to lose 100? Did they already lose 100? No, I don't think so. Have they? I should know that.
Royals record as of today is 56-99. So maybe not.
It's still possible if they win out,
they will not win. or they will not lose 100 games. However, the law of averages says yes, they will probably lose at least 100 games this year.
There it is. All right. And we are officially back. Now, you were watching this game, and unfortunately I was not able to watch it, but the Yaz coming home.
Yaz coming home. I was not, unfortunately, watching it. I was listening to it. I was at work, fortunately, in a position that I can turn on the radio and listen to it.
That must be nice.
It is. It's not quite as nice of having a three-day weekend every week, but very nice. yes.
Oh yeah.
This older rookie, 28-year-old rookie.
He's an old rookie.
Mike Yastrzemski, grandson of the Hall of Famer Carl Yastrzemski of the Boston Red Sox. Hit a home run. His 20th of the year, making him the second Giant with 20 home runs this year.
Oh, Pilar got it first. Pilar got it first.
Yeah. As
was predicted on this podcast. Yeah.
It was. The first time that a San Francisco Giant rookie had 20 home runs since like 1973.
Really? Wow. Really? You guys have been powerless.
Well, for rookies, maybe.
Not everybody can be the Dodgers. No.
It was a very touching moment. Mike got to walk around, talk with his grandfather before the first game. For the second game, Carl Yastrzemski threw out the first pitch, and Mike Yastrzemski received it. Really very cool.
Giant receive the first pitch at Fenway.
Yeah. Well, he had the right last name, I think. Every time that he was announced and he came up, he got a very nice round of applause by the Fenway crowd because he's from Boston. He is from Boston. Okay. He grew up in Boston. He was at the 2004 World Series as a fan. Said that he had quite a few memories growing up in and around Fenway Park.
That makes sense.
And he had one heck of a series there too. It was some great moments and great history. First home run hit by Yastrzemski since July of 1983.
Almost 4,000 games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
Hit the first Fenway homer by Yastrzemski, yeah. Right.
And as good as Yastrzemski has been this year for the Giants, just for fun, I went through my baseball perspective book and looked for him, and he was not listed anywhere.
Really?
He came from the Baltimore Orioles organization. He was not in the prospectus.
Interesting.
He will be next year.
Indeed he will. Now, that home run, it made Carl just the third grandfather in history whose grandson hit at least 20 home runs in a season, just like he once did. Can you name any of the other three?
grandfathers.
Grandfather, grandson. Yeah, tandem.
No, I don't think I can. I hadn't thought about that. Maybe I might be able to with father-sons.
So there's an interesting point to this list here. So, yeah, so they're the third grandfather. He's the third. But Gus Bell, 1953 and 56, of course, grandson David Bell, who did it in 99 and 2002. There's Ray Boone, 53 through 56. And then, of course, two grandsons, Brett Boone and Aaron Boone. Now, are you seeing a pattern here? Based on this list, are we going to be seeing Mike Yastrzemski managing the Red Sox in 2035?
Hey, you never know.
It's a pretty...
You never know.
Yeah. I mean,
that's an interesting question.
Yeah. If you have a... It appears that if you... grandfather-grandson tandem, which makes for great managers, because as you just said, Boone is the first manager in history to win 100 games two years in a row as a starting manager. And David Bell is, aside from Dave Roberts, maybe my other favorite manager. I love watching that guy. For, you know, he's with Cincinnati, and during that big fracas about a month back when Garrett charged the dugout,
nuts.
Bell came out. Bell came out running. He tried to he shoves Clint Hurdle, and then gets into the scrum. He gets Eckstein throws him down, starts kicking him, and Bell's all bleeding. It's amazing. And then Puig is yelling at all of his teammates for not fighting.
Former teammates already at that point.
He got traded 10 minutes before that. He got traded. It was amazing. But then Puig and Bell are just messing fools up, right? They're just in there in that scrum. Puig screaming. And then Bell's like, yeah, tell him, Puig. Yeah, watch that replay. I watched that fight probably 30 times.
Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
It was pretty incredible. David Bell, after that, he's my new favorite manager. I love that. You got to go up to bat, and sometimes you got to take one in the mouth for your team.
Well, when you're
not sexual.
When one of your players charges the dugout.
The dugout. Pretty amazing. Amir Garrett.
1-on-25. Come on, baby.
That is, that's some, oh man. That is some gangster shit right there. Now, also, at Fenway, that 15-inning extravaganza on Tuesday that we that you watched, right, with the Giants, yeah. It was the Giants' first win at Fenway since June 3rd, 1915. Back when the Giants obviously played in New York and the Braves played at Fenway.
Right. That's a regular season game.
Yeah.
They had won a postseason game against the Red Sox first year of Fenway's existence, 1912, World Series game.
Yeah, but no, this is 1915, I'm saying. Yeah, it's the first game since 15. That makes the Giants the first big league team ever to go 104 years between wins at any ballpark ever built. Wow. That's pretty insane.
I guess it's poetic.
I figure they would have had a win by now. I guess,
how often, did the Giants actually play a regular season games? Only since 97. That's a big chunk of the thing. And it's a little bit poetic that it is Fenway Park anyway because of, the Curse of the Bambino thing. It was, 98 years between World Series wins? Yeah. But
something like that. It wasn't quite 98, was it? 96. 89 or 91, 96? I don't know. Now, and
Red Sox,
Jorge Soler. Soler has just kind of been, I say quietly, just dominating slugging and home runs in the American League. I say quietly just because the Royals aren't really on my radar, but
not on anyone's
somebody
radar.
Else has been quietly just striking people out left and right. And that would be one Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish.
Who saw this one coming?
Well, he must have fixed his pitch tipping then, huh?
Apparently.
Show him the curve.
It was Yu Darvish has 24 strikeouts over his last 9 innings pitched.
Wow.
Can you believe this? How did this happen? This is why you listen to this podcast, so that we bring
little,
you
little tidbits like that.
Yeah.
If he's not, it hasn't been picked up in your fantasy league, pick him up. Pick him up for the last week.
So
two starts.
Who's the last starting pitcher to strike out 24 hitters in 9 innings?
You got me. Yeah, is this our trivia question?
Yeah. Well, no, because it's never happened.
It's never happened before. It's insane. Okay. Trick question. Thank you.
That is 9 consecutive multi-strikeout innings. In fact, no relief pitcher has ever done it either. The closest call was 23 by the darling of this show, apparently, even though he's probably a weirdo in real life, Josh Hader.
Right.
He 23. Yeah, last September. And Kirby Yates, actually, between April and May of this year, he had 23 also. Now, it's just insane. I mean, that's crazy. 24 strikeouts in 9 innings? Like, what?
No. Well, he figured something out.
Did he figure it out? Yeah. Thanks a lot,
bit,
Darvish.
A little bit too
but
late.
2 years too late. God damn it.
Well, I think 2 years ago, that's when he lost it, and he had to refigure it out, and now it's still even a little bit too late for the team that he's on now.
I award you no points.
Ridiculous. Now, as a side note, Garrett Cole had 10 consecutive multi-strikeout innings in a row over a 3-start stretch this year. So Darvish's 9 consecutive multi-inning strikeouts isn't a record. Garrett Cole has that record, but nobody has ever had 24 in a 9 inning span.
Yeah,
it's just insane.
That's
bananas.
Remember record was Kerry Wood and the Roger the Rocket.
And Randy Johnson
record games for one. Oh, you know, twenty.
Yeah,
for those games in a 9-inning game, but
right,
24. I mean,
yeah, it's pretty insane. Yeah, I mean, well, Clemens famously did it twice, 10 years apart, which is
right.
Nuts.
Well,
and Kerry Woods was one of the most dominant pitching performances ever. Even though it was a no hitter, it was still more dominant than most no hitters. Just like right. Clayton Kershaw's no hitter was more dominant than most perfect games, which is pretty insane. But it kind of ruined Kerry Wood. I mean, that was his rookie year. It was like his fifth game or something. Yeah,
something like that. And
I remember watching that.
Yeah,
that was insane. That was insane. And then everybody had poster of him afterwards.
He was never really quite the same pitcher.
Nah, he was on and off the DL pretty much the rest of his career.
Which was fairly short.
Again, still the few people that happened to be there on like a Wednesday afternoon game was pretty remarkable, man. I mean, it was like there wasn't even half sold out, I'm pretty sure, when you go back and rewatch that game. Because I've watched that game a few times. It's so dominant. It's just sexy. Now, speaking of craziness, last Saturday, the Diamondbacks won a 9-inning game against the Reds in which they got, is this true? No singles, no doubles, no homers, and no walks.
Wow.
Is that possible?
I don't know. How is it? Well, I guess.
Chew on that.
I guess if they were at Chase Field. Out there in Arizona, that ballpark is very conducive for triples. Those two big corners out there, 413 feet.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey now,
that's exactly it. The only base runner, the third inning Nick Ahmed triple. And that was it. Yeah. How many other teams since 1900? Have won a game of 9 innings or longer in which they had just one base runner? Of course, 0. That's never happened before. It's just insane. I mean, I've seen a pitcher lose a game on a no-hitter. I've seen that. But I believe it was Lackey with the Angels.
Right? I mean, this is one of the best things about this game and why we watch it is that every time that you tune into a game, likely to see something that no one's ever seen before.
It is pretty incredible how that happens. How still to this day I can watch a baseball game. Yeah. Something will happen
after
I don't know the rule. You know?
After 150 years, you'd think that everything that could happen has happened, but
yeah.
No.
The baseball rule book is kind of not unlike the U.S. Constitution. It is a living document. It is constantly evolving.
Seems that way, yeah.
It's pretty rad. And one quick note, Andy Green was just shit-canned. Like, I think earlier today he was
earlier
just fired.
Earlier today, yeah. Manager of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah.
What happened there?
They're terrible.
Well.
But they weren't supposed to be this bad.
Are they going to try to get Bochy back out of retirement?
They're going to have to get a bigger hat. Bench coach Rod Barajas will serve as interim manager for the remainder of the season. Now this happens pretty regularly, it seems like. But why? You can't just let the guy finish the damn season?
Like, I guess not.
Why not, though? Like, that seems
making
pretty
a statement.
Messed up.
Making a statement, I suppose.
What? What's the statement?
We don't care about people? We gave you all these tools, and you couldn't do anything with them. They finished behind the Giants.
You know, that's the front office's job. They let him manage there for like 4 years. You know, like, give the guy some dignity. I mean, 3 years, 4 years. I don't know. It's been at least 3 years. I mean, I know he's young. I mean, you know, I know he's not the best manager, but like, come on, man. It's like 9 games left. Like, it's pretty messed up. I don't know. But you see that often, and I always wondered about that. Like, you know, you can't just let the guy finish. Or maybe they're trying to groom Barajas or whatever and see how he can do it. I guess that's what it is.
Give him a 9-game test.
I guess. Like, when Torrey was leaving the Dodgers, he would let, like, Nomar manage. I think he let, like, Furcal manage, I'm pretty sure, or something, a few of those games, you know. Nomar was a player manager for a few of those games. Maybe that's what they're doing. I don't know. But he was fired. It wasn't just like he was like walking away, you know.
Right.
I don't know. That is pretty crazy. Now, is that it? Are we going?
That's all I really have today. I don't know. You have something ignobly.
Oh.
I know we had a couple of candidates for
Jesus Christ. Oh my God. That brings us to this week's Ignoble of the week. Yeah, there was a little too much of a low-hanging fruit from this past week in terms of ignobility.
Yeah, I think a statutory rape charge will do that.
To say the least. Yeah, now that's a little too easy. But instead, I'm going to give it to Domingo Germán. Now, we talked earlier about the Yankee starters, and of course, we did not mention his name because he was placed on administrative leave for the domestic violence policy under the Office of the Commissioner of Baseball. They're saying he's not going to play any games this season, the rest of the year, including the postseason. Now, he's arguably their most reliable starter for the Yankees, that is. I mean, he's 18-4 this year. This guy is, well, that's quite ignoble. I mean, come on, bro. Like, what the hell are you doing, you know? I mean, I guess you could say the same thing for Felipe Vasquez, but I mean, Christ.
I mean, it seems like...
What a moron.
When it comes to sports and domestic violence, it seems to be a problem among all of the major sports. It seems like,
though... I thought you were just going to say NFL. I mean, well, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, NFL is where it seems to be most prominent, but it also happens in the NBA. Major League Baseball. It seems like these guys, with all of the access to the athletic equipment they have, they would have some sort of outlet for this violent tendency.
Yeah, they play
of, like,
a game
another
for a living.
Human being.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I agree. That's pretty insane. Domingo Germán, you moron.
Yeah.
Wow. Yankees are reeling right now, though. That's brutal, man.
Yeah,
when you got Tanaka and a shaky Paxton as your 1-2. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Severino, but I don't know how long he's going to last. Who knows? Pretty brutal.
So for the Yankees' sake, those bats better, you know, stay on fire for the postseason.
Well, yeah, I don't know. It's that's pretty bad. It's been a pretty rough day in terms of baseball and criminal activity, but... what are you going to do? Yeah, I mean, look, Vasquez could have been he was a top 5 closer in the game. He could have been a top 3, maybe the best. I mean, honestly, that guy's who knows. I mean, I don't even want to get into that. That's just insane. That brings us to last week's trivia question.
Last week's trivia question, we already said Cody Bellinger last week had 42 home runs off of 42 different pitchers.
Right.
Now, the number is 45. Only one other player has had at least 40 home runs off of 40 different pitchers.
Right.
Who was that player?
All righty. We got to dip into the mailbag here. Martin Samuels says, what the hell has been going on? Where's the episode? I don't know the answer to the question. please come back. All right. Sorry, Martin. I know. We agree. I agree. It won't happen again. No answer. Clara Boyd in Monterey says Nelson Cruz. Oh, that's a good. That's a decent guess.
Yeah,
it's a really good guess.
But that's not. That's not Nelson Cruz.
All right. Sorry, Clara. We got Adrian Melson in Concord says Chris Davis with a K.
Chris Davis with a K. Is he batting .247 still this year?
Ooh.
We'll have to check on about that. Come back. But no, it's not Chris Davis with a K or Chris Davis with a C.
Right. Well, he only had like one good year there. Chris Davis with a K has had multiple 40 home run seasons. So that's
interesting. No.
Alrighty. And then we got Mike Hammersley in Greenville. I don't know where Greenville is. Says Jeff Bagwell.
Ooh. Jeff Bagwell is the decent Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer, which is on the right track of where we're going. But no, it was not Jeff Bagwell either.
So the answer is a Hall of Famer, you're saying?
Well, no. Not yet.
Oh, a first ballot Hall of
Famer. He's still an active player.
Really?
But most likely will be going to the Hall of Fame probably first ballot. But that remains to be seen.
Well, Trout never gets 40.
No,
I mean,
Trout, we're
this
not
year
talking
Trout
about
got
one
40.
But one of Trout.
Not Cruz or Chris Davis.
It's not.
Is it somebody weird? Like
no, it's no one weird. You've heard of this game. I think we might have mentioned his name earlier this episode.
Albert Pujols.
In 2015 hit 40 home runs.
I was thinking Miggy. I was like, maybe it's Miggy. No, okay, Pujols.
No, 2015 he hit 40 home runs off of 40 different pitches.
Wow.
And that was the only other time that something like this has happened.
Wow. Now, we did say, of course, Belly has 45 and 45, but watch. Keep an eye on Wednesday night's game against Joey Lucchesi and then also Thursday night's game against Eric Lauer. If he hits a home run off either of those guys, that would be the second. So it's possible he doesn't finish the year, but for me, 45 off 45 is pretty insane.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing stuff. Now, no winners, no chicken dinners. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. What do you got for me this week? Oh, I got it.
You got it.
Uh-oh. All right.
Yeah. The trivia question this week is to you. Something about Justin Verlander.
Right. So Justin Verlander is 11 strikeouts away from the 3,000th of his career. Now, he is also 17 away from his 300th of the season. He finds himself in pretty rare air. He's in position to finish off his first 300K season in the year that he reaches 3,000. Okay, now
it's
possible.
An impressive feat on its own.
Now, only one pitcher in history has ever recorded his 3,000th career strikeout in the midst of a 300-strikeout season. Name that pitcher.
Oh, that's a good question.
I think that is a good question. Now, Verlander still has two starts remaining, so it's definitely possible that he does that. But there is only one guy for sure that has done it.
Right. I'm pretty sure I know who that player is.
Yeah,
but
when
I
you
will,
think about it, you can. I think this might be a little easy this year.
I will give our listening audience a chance to answer this question and not spoil it for everyone.
Well, that's good. Thank you. Please email us, baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. Leave the answer in the comments on Podomatic, iTunes. We see it. We see everything. We are omnipotent. We are omniscient. We are with you all the time.
We're at least watching baseball all the time. I don't know about watching you. I don't want to say that we're stalking all of
by subscribing to this podcast, you agree to many, many intrapersonal privacy policies into your living room.
I need to review those terms of agreement.
No, you don't. You don't have to. No, you don't have to do that. All right. on that note, it is way too hot. We got to get out of here. I got to get another beer. From San Francisco, California, I am Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul. Remember, baseball is life. The rest, just details.
Go watch some baseball.